Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour solar flare fiesta. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Chicago to Sheboygan, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How are we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Good show on tap for you this morning. We will discuss the inner workings from San Antonio's standpoint of the Kawhi Leonard trade. What went so wrong? When did it go so wrong? And what do the Spurs do from here? Did they get enough for Kawhi Leonard? With my friend Hector Ledesma, who covers the Spurs and has for years for KCWX in San Antonio. He'll join us next hour here on the show. We'll also talk about this Manny Machado deal. What does it do for the Los Angeles Dodgers World Series chances? One of the big-time sluggers of the 1990s and a Hall of Famer says he was most hurt by the steroid era. We'll go inside the numbers and see if he's right. Derek Carr and John Gruden making beautiful music already. Sean, he's just a football player, Sean, and I love that guy. The Angels are clapping back on Rob Manfred about Mike Trout. The Knicks keep succeeding despite themselves, and so much more. The DA show this morning, rocking and rolling. You can always hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS. You can always connect with us on the phones on any of those topics at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. And as always, you can watch the simulcast, watchda.com. The Kawhi Leonard deal is still what everybody's talking about. Of course, Kawhi headed to Toronto. In return, DeMar DeRozan headed to San Antonio. And with the trade, the Toronto Raptors' odds of winning the East went up. Their odds of winning an NBA Finals went up. Vegas looked at the deal and said, the Toronto Raptors are definitely better if they get what they want out of Kawhi Leonard, which I think we all knew. But Vegas thought it was a significant return, a significant jump on their title odds. Raptors should feel good about that, right? Well, not so fast, because number one, you have to know whether Kawhi is completely healthy. That's a question mark. You also have to know whether Kawhi is engaged. That's a question mark. And I think one question mark that has not been answered yet is, how will he be received? Apparently, there has been major grumbling within the Toronto Raptors players that the organization didn't do enough to honor DeMar DeRozan on his way out of town, not even noting him in the press release about the trade. DeMar DeRozan taking to social media yesterday and talking about a lack of loyalty, that reportedly just 2 weeks ago they told him he would not be traded. And Kawhi clearly became persona non grata, unpopular in his own locker room last year. My question is, can Kawhi win over his new teammates? Or will they always resent him, and is this headed for debacle? It is where we begin. It is your cold open.
Kawhi conducted himself wonderfully while he was here. You know, he helped us win a fifth championship. As I said, he was a hard worker all the time, and we wish him well.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That's obviously Greg Popovich following the trade. The Spurs felt like they had to do something because too much was fractured between Kawhi and the locker room, Kawhi and the organization. And Tony Parker saying that his injury was 100 times worse than Kawhi Leonard. The players within the Spurs locker room emotionally pleading with him before the playoffs to join the team. Wondering when, where, why Kawhi was not there. Now his new teammates looking at how DeMar DeRozan, a guy that was embraced by the city, and a beloved teammate, was not respected on his way out the door. And Kawhi coming in there, I think that is a powder keg. I think this is a very tough sell for Kyle Lowry, for Ibaka, for Valanciunas, and for the rest of those Raptors players that just went through battles together with a guy that was loved on the team and loved in the city, and the organization just cut bait with him. I'm not saying the Raptors did the wrong thing here. Like I said yesterday, I totally understand why they did it. Their ceiling is higher. But Kawhi does not curry or engender a lot of love amongst his teammates. He is standoffish. He is quiet. He's not a guy that seems to be gregarious with teammates, with fans, with other people in the organization. Kawhi is a guy on his own little island. DeRozan wasn't. And you already have reports that Kawhi has no interest in playing in Toronto. And I think that is a real risk and a real potential problem as we move our way down into the season and then next season. Those guys may never accept him. Because is he the type of guy that's going to suddenly win you over? Is he the type of guy that is suddenly going to make you feel differently because he engages, he's friendly, he's warm, he's committed? I don't think so. And I think that is one risk that has not been talked about. We only know Kawhi from the basketball standpoint. And at basketball, he's amazing. At basketball, he's a top three, top five player in the NBA. Hell, he might be the second best player in the NBA behind LeBron when he's healthy and engaged. He's certainly one of the best two-way players of the game. He's a defensive stalwart. Offensively, he's great. He's dynamic. He's steady. The guy can do it all. He can be the focal point of a championship team. He's already been the focal point of a championship team. He's already been an NBA Finals MVP. And yet, it's not just about basketball. It's not just about what the back of the basketball card says. It's not just what his advanced stats are. Because the game's not played on paper. Kawhi Leonard may never win over his teammates in Toronto. Because he's not that type of guy, and they love DeRozan. And I just think that that is a risk that the Raptors ran here that people just undersell. Yeah, the Warriors are great because they have the most talent. But the Warriors also love playing with one another. And if they didn't, it would go kablooey. The Warriors have that chemistry that all dynasties do that makes them that otherworldly. That they can push egos aside. That they can defer to one another. That they like playing with one another. That they respect one another. Are the Raptors going to suddenly circle around DeRozan's departure and say, all right, and let's win with Kawhi? Man, I think that's a tough sell for them because Kawhi's not that type of guy. Watch that as a storyline. Big time risk, big time problem that could be on the horizon for the Raptors after this deal. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. You can connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. We have so much to get to this morning on the show, so much. Not only do we have the Kawhi Leonard deal go down yesterday, we also have the Manny Machado deal go down, which also kind of shows you where the two sports are in the national consciousness. Kawhi gets dealt. Everybody can't stop talking about it. Manny Machado is an equivalent in baseball. A guy that's in his athletic prime, about to be a free agent, guy that does it all, who has been spectacular defensively when he was at third, but also tremendous offensively, can swing the balance of power in the league, and Manny Machado is traded, and people go, so let's talk about that Kawhi deal again. But I think it's worthy of discussion here because Machado going to the Dodgers may just have swung the National League. When we return, did L.A. just win the National League with this deal? And did the Orioles get enough in return? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
20 minutes past the hour. Happy Thursday to you, DA, here on CBS Sports Radio. Brand new PGP is out, delivered hot and fresh yesterday. Pete, the Body Bilotti, and I dissecting this week's vintage epic fails because we are now hurtling towards next week's fifth anniversary special.
I am the epic fail.
Next Thursday, a week from today, we are going to have a special blowout episode of the DA Show. We signed on the airwaves on January the 2, 2013, 5.5 years ago. And so we are dedicating an entire show to the best of the first 5 years, the fifth year anniversary show here of the Doc coming up a week from today. And so we're playing vintage throwback epic fails the last 2 days. And ironically, both centered around the idiocy of Mraz and his truly nightmarish education. Number one, they speak Egyptian in Brazil. Number two, him thinking that frozen yogurt stands are getting one over on you because there's the weight of air that you're paying for when you make your swirly frozen yogurt in that cup. None of it made any sense. So go
inside. It's a disgrace.
Yeah, you are, Mraz. Go inside the PGP this week, the Permission Granted podcast on iTunes. Search Permission Granted. Also available right now at daoncbs.com. Manny Machado, one of the best young players of the game. Heck, not one of the best young players of the game. One of the best players of the game is now a member of the Los Angeles Dodgers. As the Orioles were going to shop him, obviously, at the trade deadline. Deadline is still a little over a week away. But Orioles knew they had to trade him because they're terrible. He wasn't re-signing, and he's going to be a free agent. So for the O's, did pretty good. Looks like the young outfielder Diaz is the centerpiece of this deal. But the Orioles got five different prospects from the Dodgers. And Los Angeles has built up its farm system over the last 5-6 years. And so they're kind of dripping with prospects. And some have come up and been great. Others they've used as trade chips. And so for the Orioles to get, as they said, the best player they were offered in Diaz, as the centerpiece of a deal with four other prospects. They got five potential young pieces of the next core of their next team. Cool. That's about as good as it's going to get in baseball terms. However, and Diaz, by the way, 21 years old, hit two home runs in the Futures game the other day. The only other player to ever do that, Alfonso Soriano. He's in good company. For the Dodgers on that side of things, they get a 26-year-old all-star shortstop who defensively is limited at that position, but offensively gives them a huge boost. And Machado talked about this last week. He knew that the All-Star game, or pretty close to it, was going to be his last game played in an Orioles uniform.
It crossed my mind, yeah. I mean, going to a lot of cities and a lot of questions asked and a lot of trade rumors. So it kind of did cross my mind that I wasn't going to be able to put on this jersey. But I'm here. I love putting on this jersey. I've been putting it on for the last 8 years. And, whether it's the last time I put it on, I mean, it's going to be something special.
Well, it was, it is, and now the Orioles move on without Machado. From a Dodger standpoint, they've already overtaken the division. It's only a half game over the Diamondbacks, but when you think about how awful the Dodgers' first 2 months were, I mean, truly a disgrace of an April, climbing back a little bit in May, but in June and July, they took flight and they surpassed the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, and even the Giants, and now the Dodgers are leading the West. And when you look at the power teams in baseball, they're all in the American League. The Yankees and Red Sox may both win 100 games of the same division. They'll both win 95. And one team's going to win 95-plus games and go to a one-game wild card. And then you have the Houston Astros, the defending World Series champions, who have been in fuego at times this season, that incredible win streak that they had about a month ago, and on top of it, a team that seems to have basically no flaws, moving forward, experience, resiliency, and now the defending champ, so you have the confidence, and the Astros are a monster of a team in the American League. The Indians might not be the Indians of a couple of years ago when they went to Game 7 of the World Series, but they're pretty damn good as well. And then you look at the National League and you've got question marks. Nobody thought the Braves would be here at this point in time coming into the season. Yes, they had a good young nucleus, but they certainly weren't going to get to the playoffs already, and they've been great in the National League East. But do the Braves have staying power? Are the Braves going to be a powerhouse in October? The Phillies are the top of the National League East as well. But again, the Phillies don't feel ripe to win a World Series. The Washington Nationals have been floating around 500 all year. They're still at 500 despite being one of the most talented teams in baseball. The Cubs, looking up at the Brewers basically all season, and suddenly the Cubs have made a little bit of a run. And now, after beating the Brewers in a series, have overtaken the Brew Crew into the top of the National League Central. But again, all of these teams I've mentioned don't feel anywhere close to Yankees, Red Sox, Astros. But the Dodgers may have just been sleepwalking through the first 6 weeks of the season, finally found themselves, have all of the talent of last year, and just added Manny Machado. The Dodgers are going to win that division again. They are now going to separate themselves by 4, 5, 6 games over the next 2 weeks, and they're going to cruise to that division title. They're sixth straight. And I think that this move, this trade, did just make the Dodgers the favorites of the National League. And I think they know it. I think they know that they've got a finite window here. I think they know that they've got Clayton Kershaw at a certain level for only a certain amount of time. And I think the Dodgers say we got to go for it right now. And when you think about it, it's kind of the perfect year to do it. They're celebrating all season long the 30th anniversary of their last championship team, 1988. The Kirk Gibson team, the Oral Hershiser team. There is championship taste in their mouth right now, and it's been a long time. When you think about the Dodgers' history, going 30 years without a title, it's a long time. That's an eternity in Dodgers' time. They know. That ownership knows. They spent a lot of money on that team. A lot of money. Spent a lot of money on buying that team. It ain't cheap to run that team. They know that they've got a window, and they went after it, and I appreciate that. I mean, five prospects for Machado, good on the Orioles for getting that. But for the Dodgers, even if this is just a rental, if they win the World Series, it is all worth it. It is always worth it as long as you hang that banner. As long as you hang that flag or that banner, it's always worth it, whatever the price is. Even if you have to sacrifice titles in the future, you got to get that one, especially in a 30-year drought of that organization. Yeah, that trade just made the Dodgers the favorite to the National League. Now, October can be quirky. October can be funky. October can be a series of upsets. One pitcher, one ace getting red hot. The one-game playoff. One team starting to feel its business, and you never know. The Cubs obviously have talent enough to win a championship. They did so 2 years ago. If the Nationals ever got their act together and Bryce Harper played like a National League MVP, who knows? But right now, Dodgers, with that, they are the best team in the National League. They may have just won the National League with that trade. That's a huge one. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. Dessert coordinator Brad Heller's in today, in all week, actually, and we've affectionately coined you the dessert coordinator because you love dessert more than anybody else I know, and that includes Mraz.
That's hard to believe, but I feel like, you know, maybe in a tight race, I might beat him by a nose.
Waffle cones on me?
I think you beat him by more than a nose because you real. I think he just stuffs his face worth of dessert. I think you really look for the deliciousness inside the dessert. You look for the creativity inside the dessert. You have a more well-rounded palate for the dessert.
That's nice of you to say, and that is a lot based on what we're talking about with Mraz.
However, but Pete the Body Bilotti has called into question your title as dessert coordinator. On a previous PGP, he said, when's the last dessert list we got out of the dessert coordinator? Am I right?
Yes, I would like more from the dessert coordinator.
You are looking for more production out of that title.
More desserts.
And so, today, I believe we should have you unveil the top five options at an ice cream truck. It's the summer. Ice cream trucks are coming by our neighborhoods all the time. You hear the music. I need a top five list today out of you, Heller. Top five desserts out of an ice cream truck. Are we ready?
We can do that. Okay. We can do that.
All right. Oh, yeah.
Next hour, I'm looking for the list.
Next hour. Okay.
Okay.
Very good. This is not, by the way, because I'm not willing to contribute. I know it doesn't always come up in conversation.
Well, this is your list. Chance to shine.
Okay.
This is the
pressure's
chance.
Pressure's on now.
There we go. When we come back, we've got your best audio of the day, sound check, including Larry Fedora sticking a big fedora inside his mouth on CTE, DA, CBS Sports Radio, and Brett Heller has your headlines.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's a throwback Thursday, as always, here on the DA Show with some throwback CBS jingles, and we appreciate you carving out time for us here on the program. We want to remind you, you can take us with you wherever you go this summer. If you're traveling, you're on the road, you're on the go, you're outside of your normal listening area, just download the CBS Sports app on your phone and listen to us there. You can also listen to us on the radio.com app. And on top of that, we're on Apple Music, all the places that you can watch or listen to the DA Show. and you can watch at watchda.com. Again, that's watchda.com. Your place for the DA show on your phone. Coming up next hour here on the program, we'll have my good friend Hector Ledesma join us here on the show. He's covered the San Antonio Spurs for more than a decade. He's a guy that we always lean on when it comes to Spurs insight. He'll join us on the show coming up in about an hour from now to talk about that side of things. How did it get so bad, so quickly, go so wrong, never to return? Also next hour here on the show, one Major League Baseball Hall of Famer says he was more hurt than anybody else by the steroid era. We'll go down through the numbers and ask whether he's right about that coming up at the top of the hour. And some football for you. The Oakland Raiders right now in honeymoon phase with John Gruden. If you're a Raider fan, this story will warm your little silver and black heart. And let's face it, you need something because in a day and age where you don't know if this is your last season with your favorite team, it's time to smile. We like to bring a bag of smiles every morning here on the Dot. So all that coming up, hit us up. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. Dixie Landan tweets, technically DA, Mraz is right. Air does have weight on an atomic level. Air is comprised of atoms. Atoms have a weight. Your argument is invalid. Mraz wins. Dan, you and I know that Mraz has no idea about atomic weight. You and I both know that Mraz has no idea that the air is comprised of atoms. You and I both know that Mraz has no idea about anything when it comes to atomic physics. And thus, you can't get me in a technicality. Mraz, as always, is wrong. Get him out. We replayed that for the epic fail last yesterday's show. He thought that if you put your froyo, your frozen yogurt, in the cup and pack it down, knock it on the table to pack it down to fill in all the air pockets, you were getting one over on the froyo company. I said, yeah, but you're paying by weight, so it doesn't matter. And he, I couldn't even follow his logic, thought that simply by filling up the air pockets, you are getting one over on the froyo company, even though you pay by weight. Example number 762, why he's a moron.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Time for your best audio of the day. It is Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Greg Popovich on trading away Kawhi Leonard.
We hope that this will be a good situation for everybody involved. Kawhi obviously worked very hard to become the player he is. Our staff worked very hard to help him get there, and we wish him all the best as he moves on to Toronto. I think that, you know, he's going to be great. With DeMar coming to San Antonio, I couldn't be happier. I think this trade is going to be good for both teams. DeMar is obviously, you know, a four-time All-Star and an All-NBA player, somebody that I've respected and watched play for a while now, and we're thrilled to have him here.
I really think that this is just about the best that the Spurs could do. If they didn't want to go into full rebuild mode, and I really think that Greg Popovich at this point in his career wasn't ready to rip it down and start playing for the lottery. I think Pop's whole thing is, as long as I'm here, we got to try to win. And so I don't want a bunch of young guys. I don't want a bunch of draft picks. I'm not here for much longer. I want to win. And that's where I think trading for DeMar DeRozan comes into play. That they feel like this is their best chance at winning. And I think when you get a four-time All-Star in his prime that stayed clean off the court, fans loved him, teammates loved him, you know, that's about as good as you're going to get for the San Antonio Spurs if you didn't want to send him somewhere in the Western Conference so that shut off half of your teams. It's about as good as it's going to get. I have question marks about Kawhi's desire to do anything these days. And I'm not saying that the Spurs are without blame here, because maybe they did misdiagnose him and maybe they didn't do enough to make him feel comfortable and allow him to trust them. But at the end of the day, this just feels so broken that it's impossible that you can really feel comfortable about anything if you're looking at Kawhi's potential. You kind of have to guess where his love, where his desire, where his personal wants are. Larry Fedora is the head coach of UNC football. And yesterday, he openly spoke about discounting the connection between CTE and football.
I'm not sure that anything is proven that football itself causes it. Now, we do know from what my understanding is that the blows to the repeated blows to the head cause it. So I'm assuming that every sport that you have, football included, could be a problem with that, right? As long as you've got any kind of contact, you can have that. That does not diminish the fact that the game is still safer than it's ever been.
Look, the game is safer than it's ever been. There's more rules changes. There's better technology. There's better concussion protocol. All these things are designed to protect the player, and those are good things. But anytime that a head coach dismisses the connection between CTE and football, I just roll my eyes. Because all that is irresponsible. And look, you can't control what everybody thinks all the time. But if you are well-read, if you are open to science, if you have listened to those that have studied this through and through, it's obvious. No, not everybody that plays football for a play or a game sustains a concussion or CTE. And hell, you could even make the argument that there are some players that could play a really long time, 10, 15, 20 years of football, and not have suffered CTE. But the longer you play, and certainly the earlier you play, the higher the rate, the probability of CTE is. It goes up. There is no doubt it goes up. So to dismiss the link between them is just obviously scientifically and mentally irresponsible. But this happens because football coaches are scared that this is their profession. If there was an entire scientific industry that kept saying, you know what, being a radio show host is bad for your brain, you might die, I might start going, no, I think they're wrong. I don't like how you're shutting down a bunch of radio stations. I just don't see the link there because I'm fine. But look, it's obvious. I don't know how. Larry Fedora, we'll put it this way. In 10 years, Larry Fedora will look like a doctor in 1950 that told you smoking is good for you. There is no known connection between lung cancer and smoking. Kids should keep doing it. I've got more on that coming up in a few minutes. But first, Mike Trout was called out by his own commissioner, Rob Manfred, for not being more open and flexible for self-promotion. Mike Trout's response?
I keep telling you guys, I do as much as I can, but you know, it's a long baseball season. So, you know, I got to pick and choose when I want to, you know, do things and, you know, go from there. Like I said before, when we can express ourselves, you know, obviously not just playing baseball during a game, you know, the dugout and just anywhere. You know, I think it's pretty good. It's good for baseball.
So Mike Trout's taking the high road. We'll talk more at length about this later on in the show because I think it's significant. I just don't understand what end game Rob Manfred gets out of going after Mike Trout. I mean, Trout is the everything to everybody in the league. He's never had a misstep. Everybody loves him. He's an amazing player. He's great off the field. He just embodies everything that you want in your league. And for Rob Manfred to pick a fight about what he's open to and not, I mean, it's just completely silly, and it's a zero end game. You're not going to get anything out of that. What you're going to prove to other people, well, I guess Rob Manfred in baseball, I mean, I guess they've tried everything. I guess we should blame Mike Trout for him not being more famous. That is just built out of an insecurity of baseball and Manfred. And I've generally really liked Manfred and thought that he's a thoughtful guy. He's an even-headed guy. I like him better than Bud Selig in a lot of ways. This is his biggest miscalculation and misstep. It doesn't do you any good. If behind the scenes, you want to try to lean on his agent or lean on Mike Trout or really kind of say, you know, we need you to promote the game, and so you really got to do more, that's one thing. But publicly criticizing him is the worst battle you can pick. That's your sound check. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Travis is in Virginia looking to clear up the Mraz frozen yogurt argument. Good morning, Trav.
Good morning.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine, sir.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, DA made a statement that...
Well, I'm DA.
He made the statement that Aaron didn't... Well, I might be misinterpreting because I do have a hand problem. I thought you made a statement that Aaron did not have weight except on the atomic level. Well, my understanding is if you have a tire that holds 35 pounds of air, that's 35 pounds per square inch. That's the weight.
Okay. I don't want to get too dragged down into atomic level weights and pressures of weight and whatnot of air, but our point is if you have a 10-ounce cup of ice cream and there is air in the middle of the ice cream, you're not getting charged for that space in the 10-ounce cup.
No, because the weight of the ice pushes the air out. So at some point, there's no space because even that takes up space.
Say that again?
There will be no air left in the cup.
That sounds like a tongue twister. Do that one again, Trav.
Okay, so you have a 10-ounce cup, and you fill it with ice or anything that's matter, and matter takes up space, so we push the air out. So at some point, there's no space for the air.
So the ice cream, the ice cream pushes the air out.
Of course, because the ice cream has weight; it takes up space.
Does ice cream weigh more than the air, or the air weigh more than the ice cream there?
Well, no, the ice cream weighs more than the air.
Ice cream
depends upon how much ice cream you have in there. Now, that depends upon how much ice cream you have.
Okay,
so
just a little bit of ice cream weighs the same as a little bit of air?
I don't know, because you have to weigh them.
I don't know
how much a little bit is.
Well, what's the lightest flavor of ice cream, would you say? Would it be vanilla or something? Like, what's the lightest?
The flavor doesn't make any difference at all.
Oh. So a rocky road? Or a cookie dough, would that be a heavier density?
I guess so. I'm not that smart, I'm a dumb cat, but I know a little bit about science from high school, and that's what we were taught.
I hear you, bro. Okay, all right. I hear you. I feel you. I'm glad we're having this conversation on the show. Can you tell it's July 19th?
My God.
I just love that Mraz's idiocy could lead us down the road of yet another debate, some type of scientific debate. I mean, it's like climate change debate here on the DA show, but instead of climate change or evolution, it is how much... air, how much does air cost at a froyo stand?
That was clearly his fan base that was on the phone right there.
I want to get into a little bit more about the Larry Fedora comments, because it made me think of something about the roots of this country, because he really went into how if football goes away, the country will go down the pipes, down the tubes. And I kind of feel like this is, in some circles, a prevailing notion that football reflect some type of toughness in America. And I want to discuss that with a historical significance and anecdote coming up here next. Also, as I told you, a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer believes he was most hurt by the steroid era. We'll ask whether he's right or not. That's also coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.